The reading is taken from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear our gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please take a seat. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take these words and you would use them for us and for your glory. In your name, amen. How do we find out what motivates a person? How do we find out the essence of who someone is, what they have identified as being the most significant markers of them? Well, I mean, maybe one example might be the bio that they put on one of their social media sites. So I thought I'd start by reading Will's Twitter bio and my Twitter bio, and you might note some differences. So Will's husband, father of four, pastor of an Anglican church in England, ex-army general synod member. Very sensible. Kate's second year curate, can be found drinking, laughing, watching cricket, reading or playing tennis. I think it's probably good that Will is in charge. Or maybe another place that you might see who someone is might be what their family choose to have written on their gravestone. When I went to my bishop's advisory panel, you have to start by basically doing an exam where you have about 100 questions to answer. And one of the questions was, what would you want written on your gravestone? What is the essence of a person? And what is it that motivates them? I wonder what you would say for yourself. What motivates you in your everyday? How would you want other people to be describing who you are? Well, as we come to this passage in Luke, we see Jesus beginning his ministry. And in this moment, he gives us such a clear declaration of what his ministry is to be about, what the essence of who he is, and what God has called him to do in his time on earth. So, what's the context of our passage? Well, we have Jesus returning to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And he is teaching in the synagogues, and people are praising him. He's in Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day, he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. So nothing out of the ordinary is happening. It would be very normal for the people to see Jesus in his hometown reading from the scroll. But we must recognize that yes, it's his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, but everything is different this Sabbath because Jesus has begun his ministry. In the passages before our passage, we have Jesus being baptized when the people saw the Holy Spirit descend on him and that voice from heaven say, "This is my son whom I love." And now Jesus went off and he was tempted by the devil. So yes, it's his custom, but everything has changed this Sabbath because this is the moment that his ministry is beginning. And what passage is it that Jesus chooses to read and explain? He chooses Isaiah 61. And this passage is spoken from the perspective of the servant Messiah. So it is a prophecy about who the Messiah will be. But to those who first received the passage, It also spoke of the year of Jubilee. So this is an idea that happened in the Israelite community every 50 years. And on that 50th year, they were told to consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan. Well, this year we will think about the idea of a jubilee as we will celebrate the Queen's Jubilee at the beginning of June. She has been on the throne for 70 years, and I imagine that some special events will happen. Maybe there'll be some people who get MBEs or the other ones that I can't remember the acronyms of, in celebration of the Jubilee. But the Jubilee in the Israelites was different because this was a time of liberation and restoration. Everybody returned to their ancestral land. The land was left dormant. Prisoners were released, and debtors were forgiven for their debts. It was good news for all the people. And this is the passage that Jesus chooses. This prophetic passage of liberation, of freedom, of restoration. Now, whenever you begin a job, somebody who is inducting you might say something to you about the culture of the organization, and you're often encouraged that if you're coming into a new job from day one, you should be thinking about setting the tone of who you will be as an employee. When I got my first teaching job, I was told not to smile until half term, which I could not possibly have managed at all. And we must think that here Jesus is setting the tone, making it so clear who he is and what he has come to do. Jesus picks this passage speaking about who he, the Messiah, is. And he promises liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty for the oppressed. Now we must remember that the Israelites were used to that happening every 50 years. But after Jesus has finished reading the passage, he says to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What? They expected that every 50 years. And Jesus is saying, "This is here now. Forever." It's not the same as the Jubilee, because Jesus, the Messiah, whose God's Spirit was upon, has come to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But it would not just be one year. It was from that moment on forever. Because Jesus came to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, and to bring peace. When Jesus died on the cross for us, he enabled us to have eternal wholeness, as he won for us a place in heaven. But this is not just something that we can experience only after we've died and we are in heaven. Jesus is saying that a new age had come, that a new normal was here. a time when we could come to God and ask for healing, wholeness, and peace at any point. Do you remember in Narnia, when the children come into Narnia and they're told it's always winter and never Christmas? But we live in always Christmas. Jesus' death on the cross means the longing is over. We live in this age now. And that's why we wanted to offer this healing service, because we believe that we live in a time when we can be healed, when we can find freedom and wholeness and peace. Now, this might mean physical healing, and we probably all know of somebody who has had a miraculous healing after answered prayer in that sense. I had a friend and her dad had cancer, and people prayed over him. And then when he went to his doctor's appointment, the doctor did a scan and they couldn't even see the cancer. But we must recognize that not all illnesses get healed. I was speaking with Joyce and Paul a couple of weeks ago, and they said that they have been praying over people who were ill, and they have felt that sense of God saying, their time has come. This will not be healed on earth. Because we believe that there can be other types of healing as well. One of my favorite examples of healing in the Bible is of the bleeding woman who comes to Jesus and touches his cloak. And yes, she is physically healed. But for her, the healing means so much more than an ending to the physical pain, because she receives peace and wholeness. And whereas before, because of her bleeding, she had to live on the margins of society, now she is able to be brought into the community, to be brought into the Israelite people, and to redeem her place of wholeness. So we wanted to offer a time for people to come forward who seek that wholeness, who need to find peace for something that is going on in their lives. Maybe coming to peace with difficult circumstances that you've been through. Maybe being able to move beyond a situation that you have been stuck in, that you have been struggling with for many years. We believe that the new era has come. The new age is here, where we can come to God and we can ask to receive healing, wholeness, and peace. And we know, as painful as it is, that God is able to bring good out of every situation, even if it is not a physical healing. I went for a walk last week with a friend of mine whose husband is likely to die this year of a brain tumor. And she said that when it happened, they couldn't understand, when his ministry was going so well, when he was so settled in his job, why God would have brought this on their family. But since his diagnosis, he's had more evangelistic opportunities than he's ever had before. And in particular, one person who has always been incredibly antagonistic to God has started meeting with him every week, because he wants to understand how his faith is keeping him going even in this bleak situation. Because we don't know the mind of God, and we don't know when an illness will be healed and when an illness will not be healed. but we can trust that God is able to bring good out of every situation. And we can keep praying, keep trusting our loving God, knowing that even the darkest and most difficult circumstances that we might ever feel we go through, God is able to bring us to a place of peace about. And there's probably some people sitting here today who have been through something in their lives that they never thought they'd come to peace with, but God made it possible. So as I end, I want to encourage you to remember the difference of the lives that we have. The Israelite people of the Old Testament had the year of Jubilee once every 50 years. The year of freedom, of restoration, of healing and peace. But Jesus brought this new age to all of us. Now, in the years to come, and in eternity in heaven. And we would love to encourage you to come forward to be anointed with oil or to have prayer ministry after the service. If there is a part of your life that you would like to invite Jesus into, a part of your life that you would like more wholeness, more peace, and that you want to invite God to be in with you, to minister to you in. Remember, they had the year of Jubilee every 50 years. We have it now and forever. I'll pray as I end. Dear God, thank you so much that you brought the new age of healing, of wholeness and peace. Please could we believe that you could help us come to a place of peace of any difficulty we've been through. Please could we be people who could come to you in faith for our healing, trusting you and knowing that you can bring good and that you answer prayers. Amen.